honor for me to be here today, church, and bring you a message out of the Word of God. And I'm going to be looking at a couple of scriptures that are just going to give us an idea of, you know, some people, they have like this warped perception of Christianity, that it's all about me, 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 and amassing my empire and all this kind of stuff. But actually, I want to show you through the scripture that God is very concerned with the people who don't have a lot. There's many scriptures in the Bible that talk about people who are living in poverty, people who are oppressed, people who, and it's like that's our call, and God's heart is for us to make that difference. You know, we are His hands, we're His feet. I want to take a quick look at, you guys are probably getting tired of it, but at our theme verse for the year, and that's Luke 4:18 in the NIV. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. You know, by getting involved in our annual Leap into Spring program and committing to give a small amount every week, every fortnight, every month, whatever you can manage, we can all help people in these poorest of poor countries experience that kind of freedom that Jesus was talking about. But not only financial freedom. You know, we do things that will eventually bring people, raise them out of poverty. You know, there's entrepreneur school programs, but also spiritual freedom. You know, I'm talking about, you'll see it next week, but we've done stuff like given $500 worth of Bibles to Sierra Leone last year. And though that might not sound like a lot, next year we're believing for double that. And you know, we're just going to start small with something small. And I'm, you know, can you imagine when you get to heaven one day and some guy from Sierra Leone comes up to you and he's like, "You went to C3 Wellard, didn't you? You gave to Leap into Spring, didn't you? Because of you, I got a Bible in my hand and I know Jesus because of you." I mean, how powerful would that be? How powerful would that be? So spiritual freedom as well. And that's where, from the scripture, the title of my message comes this morning. And that's to set the oppressed free. And that's a photo that I took when I was in Liberia. I've doctored a little bit in Photoshop with the colors and stuff. But those are actual faces of kids at C3 Painesville in Liberia that I took 2 years ago. Those are kids who are in the poorest of poor areas, who can never hope to go to school. But because we give every year to Leap into Spring, and we subsidize the salaries for the teachers and, you know, the roof repairs and all the different programs of keeping that school going, which serves as a church on the weekends, you know, those little kids, those little faces, those are the faces of kids who we are directly making a small difference in their life by giving them some sort of education where they had no hope of a future before. I mean, it's awesome. So, with all that said, let's pray as we prepare our hearts for the Word. Father God, thank You that You are concerned with the struggling people of this world. Thank You for using us in Your plan to bring hope and relief to people in terrible situations. Help us to see the world around us through Your eyes. Break our hearts for what breaks Yours. And lead us every day to model the perfect example of Jesus Christ more closely. In Jesus' name. Amen. As you guys know, I have a very favorite translation of the Bible that I like to use, the easy-to-read version. And look, every version has its place, has its flavor of God that it's trying to bring out because, you know, none of us speak Greek or Hebrew. But what I like about the easy-to-read version, as opposed to, say, the New King James, for example, even the King James, is, you know, the King James, "Hello, thou arteth, answereth," you know, it can make God sound distant and irrelevant and like an old man with a gray beard sitting up there throwing lightning bolts at people. But I feel like the easy-to-read version, it brings God to a level where I can understand Him, you know, where it's not big words and it's no pomp and ceremony. It's a God that I can relate to, a God that became flesh, a God that, you know, gave up everything for me. So I want to read from my main scripture this morning is from Isaiah 58:6-11 in the easy to read version. And the reason why I chose this passage out of Isaiah is Luke 4:18. That was a scripture that Jesus was actually quoting out of Isaiah. he was reading from a prophecy about Jesus that was made years and years ago. And I just want to show you that sometimes people are like, the Old Testament God, the New Testament God, they seem a little bit disconnected, and is it really the same God? Well, I'm going to read from the Old Testament today, and I want you to see that it lines up with our theme and with the New Testament so well. It gives us like a snapshot of God's heart. Isaiah 58, 6 to 11, the easy to read version. I will tell you the kind of day I want. A day to set people free. This is God talking. I want a day that you take the burdens off others. I want a day when you set troubled people free and you take the burdens from their shoulders. I want you to share your food with the hungry. I want you to find the poor who don't have homes and bring them into your own homes. When you see people who have no clothes, give them your clothes. Don't hide from your relatives when they need help. And then I love it. God doesn't only ask us to do things, but it's crazy how a God who doesn't have to, but a God who asks us to do things, he always then gives us a promise afterwards. Listen to the promise of the Father heart of God who loves us. If you do these things, your light will begin to shine like the light of dawn. Then your wounds will heal. Your goodness will walk in front of you, and the glory of the Lord will come following behind you. Then you will call to the Lord and he will answer you. You will cry out to him and he will say, here I am. Stop causing trouble and putting burdens on people. Stop saying things to hurt people or accusing them of things they didn't do. Feel sorry for hungry people and give them food. Help those who are troubled and satisfy their needs. Then your light will shine in the darkness. You will be like the bright sunshine at noon. The Lord will always lead you and satisfy your needs in dry lands. He will give strength to your bones. You will be like a garden that has plenty of water, like a spring that never goes dry. So many promises from the Lord if we step out, help the hungry, help the needy, and help to set the oppressed free. I want to go back to verse 6 and 7 one more time very quickly. I will tell you the kind of day I want. I want a day to set people free. I want a day that you take the burdens off others. I want a day when you set troubled people free and you take the burdens from their shoulders. When you share your food with the hungry. When you find the poor in their homes, you bring them into your homes. When you see people who have no clothes, give them your clothes. You know, what such a mandate and a charge to help the poor and the needy. And it's not unique to just this one passage of Scripture. There's heaps in the Old and the New Testament where God is concerned about the poor, about the needy, about the oppressed. And, you know, I believe truly that when we contribute to our local and international missions, we satisfy this heart of God and we please Him. Who here wants to please God? Show of hands. I mean, I know I do. I really want to, you know, get to heaven one day, and yeah, I'm not perfect, and yeah, I mess up, and I get it wrong, and I'm rash sometimes, but I want to just hear God say, no matter all your flaws and faults, you did a good job. You were after my heart. You did a lot right, you know. You were pleasing to me. You know, King David didn't get it right by any stretch of the imagination, and yet God said, it's a man after my heart. He wrote songs, he loved God, and but he had his flaws, and that's a picture of all of us. We all have our flaws, but I believe if our heart is truly after God's heart in things like this, in helping to set the oppressed free, you know, we will end up pleasing God. We all know about like the story of the Good Samaritan from Luke chapter 10. Many of you who've grown up in church, I'm sure you could, you know, give your own version of that story quite easily. But it's unique to Luke. It's not in any of the other Gospels, that parable of the Good Samaritan. And like, I think from that story, it summarizes that there was these religious guys who thought they had it all right and thought they were serving God, but yet their heart was in the wrong place. They saw this man suffering and, you know, had been beaten up and needed help, and they just walked on past. They were like, nah, I'm all right, God. I've checked all the boxes. I haven't sinned and whatever. And it's like, but you just walked past. you know, a child of God who was struggling and he didn't do anything. You know, I think we need to be displaying the kind of love that Jesus showed for the struggling people around us. And, you know, I think Luke was trying to show us that both Jesus and God the Father are very concerned with the outcasts of society. You know, Luke highlighted all sorts of stories where, for example, Jesus encountered a homeless woman in Luke 7. You know, Luke tells us of when Jesus elevated the status of Mary and Martha. I gave a message about that earlier in the year, the good, the bad, and the contextual, and tied it to Star Wars, if you remember. But, you know, this was all done in a time, you know, Jesus elevated the status of women like Mary and Martha when the society totally disregarded the stature and the worth of women. So I think Jesus is all about looking at who's outcast and who's not important in, you know, society's eyes. And that's the people who he calls us to help. You know, Luke tells us of when Jesus healed a crippled woman and a man with dropsy. Jesus went out of his way, according to the Gospel of Luke, to help others, and especially the people that society doesn't think very much of. Now, in today's world, we not only have people groups and classes that society looks down on, but we also have countries that are not seen as, you know, equal or as worthy or good places to be in. You know, I know people here would probably agree that you'd rather live in countries like the United States, maybe a European country, Japan, Australia, these first world countries. They're rich and established countries with good governments, good job opportunities, decent laws. You know, most people in these nations, like our nation, have a decent chance at making something of themselves. However, the world looks down on other countries, you know, sometimes totally disregards the kind of nations that we support in our missions program. You know, nations like India, nations like the Philippines, Sierra Leone, Liberia. Now tell me, in a hypothetical situation, if Jesus walked the earth today, you know, do you think he'd spend the majority of time with people, you know, who have a good social safety net, who have a good baseline of living, who have plenty of job opportunity? Or do you think he'd be more drawn to spend time in a country with a corrupt government or a country that has been the victim of a natural disaster? You know, what do you think God's heart is like? Countries where he could make a big difference, binding up the brokenhearted and bringing love and healing to devastated lives. I think the latter. Anyway, let's take a look at a few scriptures. Proverbs is a well-renowned book of wisdom in the Bible. I just want to take you through a couple of scriptures to show you that this is not unique to the Gospels. This is not unique to Isaiah. But this kind of, you know, heart of God for the poor and the needy can be found throughout Scripture. So in Proverbs 28:27, in the Message, be generous to the poor. You'll never go hungry. Shut your eyes to their needs and run a gauntlet of curses. Wow. Wow. Psalm 72:12-14. In the ESV. For he delivers the needy when he calls, the poor and him who has no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence, he redeems their life. And precious in their blood in his sight. Precious is their blood in his sight. And then there are the famous words of Jesus in the Beatitudes. Luke 6:20-21. In the New Living Translation. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. So it definitely looks like God cares about the poor and the needy of this world. And multiple times he says he's pleased with people who help them. And he will even bless us for doing this. I reckon that I am, if you aren't, convinced that God does care about the kinds of people our missions program supports. But now you may ask, you know, the problems of the world seem so great. You know, like, we only are small people. We only have so much to give. And man, you just see on the news reports these natural disasters, these you know, kids with flies on their nose dying every day from hunger, and it all seems too much. God, can I make a difference? That's the question I want to ask, is can I make a difference? Lord, where do we even start? Can I make a difference? Or is it just a drop in the ocean? That's my first point today. You know, can I live out the words in Scripture? Can I live out the words of Isaiah 58? Can I make a difference? And the other scriptures about helping the poor and the needy across our world. Well, you know, sometimes when we get to our missions program, it's all like a bit of a downer. It's like, God, like there's so many people, where do you even start? Well, I've got a really encouraging video to show you, church. And yes, it's a guy from the United States, and I had to cut some pieces out the video because, you know, he like talks about these statistics of, you know, Nebraska and Ohio and all these things that are irrelevant to us. But I just want to play this video to you right now and just encourage you that no matter what you think of society, you know, if you've been disillusioned that people are only out for themselves, you know, that we can't really make a difference, that it's too much, I want you to take a look at this video and just see what we've done as the human race for the poor and the needy and the people in extreme poverty over the past couple of decades. Take a look at this video, church, and be encouraged.
Imagination, if we lack the hope that the world could be dramatically different, the good news is we can be released from the tyranny of our low expectations. We can be free from that lie that the future will somehow be like our past. The truth is, extreme global poverty can be overthrown by our generation. But maybe you're a realist. You're a little skeptical. I mean, you may believe it's possible in theory, but you kind of doubt that it could be accomplished anytime soon. I mean, the statistics are overwhelming. 164,000 children died of measles in a single year. 881,000 people were killed by malaria. 1.4 billion people struggle to live in extreme poverty. That's surviving on less than $1.25 per day. But you know, measles doesn't kill people. Malaria doesn't kill people. A lack of food or clean water, they don't kill people. Even most natural disasters, they rarely kill people. There is one single killer responsible for all of these deaths: extreme poverty. Poverty is the difference between a $5 latte with an extra shot or a $5 shot that will protect a child from dying of measles. Poverty is the difference between an earthquake in Los Angeles killing 63 people and an earthquake of similar magnitude in Haiti killing 220,000 people. Wherever poverty has a stronghold, the statistics are grim. When Jesus prayed, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," it wasn't some cliche fit for a greeting card. It was his driving ambition for his kingdom. And God does not want people to suffer in economic poverty. God does not intend for people to die of preventable diseases. God clearly and repeatedly has commanded us to care for the poor, and God has given us everything we need to end extreme poverty. Here is the astounding truth. The tyranny of extreme poverty is being broken. In the past 8 years, the number of kids dying from measles has dropped by 78%. 22 countries have cut their malaria rate in half, and they did it in only 6 years. You know, we used to say that 40,000 children die every day from preventable causes. In the 90s, that number dropped from 40,000 to 33,000 per day, and in 2008, it dropped again to 24,000, and now we're down to 21,000. We cut that number in half in a generation. I'd like to take you back 200 years to 1810. We had an average lifespan of 30 years, and almost all of us were living in extreme economic poverty, but things begin to change. Industrialization starts to happen in Europe, and the economies are growing, and as they're making more money, they're able to secure more quality food, and they're living longer, they're living healthier. And in that time, we discover electricity, and we invent the automobile, and airplanes, and vaccines, and soon the rest of the world is following. And as you look across that whole span of time, you see this momentum, this sense that we are heading somewhere. even those countries that we look at today and think, oh, it's just not possible, they are all following this path out of extreme poverty and into a new place. You remember that massive number that I gave you earlier, the number of people living in extreme poverty, 1.4 billion? Well, listen to this. I mean, if you're only going to remember one set of numbers from all this stuff I'm telling you, remember this. 52 to 26 and 26 to go. In 1981, 52% of the world's population lived in extreme poverty. Today, that number is 26%. We've cut the percentage of people living in extreme poverty in half, and we did it in a generation. If that's what the generation before ours did, just imagine what our generation can do. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, human progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts of men willing to be co-workers with God. It's time for authentic action. Let's stop performing out of religious habits and start living the life we were called to. The poor will not always be with us. We do not need to live in a world where children die from preventable diseases. Extreme poverty and all the suffering it brings can be pushed into the history books. And God has given us the mandate and every resource that we need to accomplish that task. He has entrusted us with money, with knowledge, with influence, and with a brief amount of time on this earth, a brief amount of time in which to make a difference. God has given us amazing wealth and influence. The question is, what are we going to do with it? What could we do with it?
So be encouraged, church. I mean, that statistic, I mean, 52% back in the 80s, you know, that's over half of the world lived in extreme poverty. That's living on $1.25 per day. But, you know, it's down to 26%. And we can make a difference. And no matter how small we are and how insignificant you think you are, we're making a difference in Liberia. We're making a difference in Sierra Leone. We're making a difference in India. We're making a difference in Philippines. We're doing our bit. So be encouraged. Whatever you think you can contribute, you will be making a difference. I want to zoom in to one of the things that we do specifically in Liberia, because you probably won't see too much about it because there's just too much to say about it next week. So I want to talk a little bit about a program that we support in Liberia called Paradigm Shift. Now, Paradigm Shift, it's an entrepreneur training program and a micro investment scheme. So what basically happens is, like, maybe you are, so this is one of the graphics that we'll get to. But basically, Paradigm Shift, it's like, say I have a business where I say I'm going to wash people's clothes, because that's the kind of businesses that these business owners have in Liberia. And so they'll say, I'll wash your clothes for a couple of dollars a week or whatever. And that's an entrepreneur in the terms of Paradigm Shift in Liberia. And so they get this training that really helps them through this program that we sponsor. So what happens is, this person who's just buying and selling clothes, they've never learned about things like budgeting. They've never learned about things like saving. They've never learned about, you know, all the things that to us seems like second nature, you know, just handling money. You know, and okay, I'm only going to get this much in this week, so I can only spend this much. I need to save this much. And so a lot of the entrepreneurs, although their businesses are relatively successful, they sell themselves short. But now it's not only financial training that these entrepreneurs get, but it's also training in morality. And what I mean by that is, they have a Bible study component to all the training that we provide. And where that makes a difference, like, as you might be thinking, oh, how can the Bible really help? Well, the Bible does talk a lot about money, but it helps from the point of view of this. Some people in African nations, they will look at, like, if a business opportunity comes their way and they can exploit it now, They don't think of the long-term repercussions of, if I exploit that brother or sister of mine in the community and I make a buck today and I feed my family, what will that mean long-term over the next year? I might get kicked. They don't think about, I might get kicked out of my community, I might get known as a thief, and then I might get cursed, you know, the curse of a thief come on me, and all these kind of like repercussions, all these principles that, you know, God has in his word about how to just, you know, deal with other people with integrity, you know, run businesses beyond reproach with good moral standing. And so paradigm shift is all about teaching people not only, you know, budgeting skills and how to improve their businesses, but also teaching them to be better human beings, teaching them to be more like Jesus in their business dealings. And then they're making a difference in their community, because you'll go back to the person who didn't, like, you know, shortchange you. You'll go back to the person who was like, oh, last time you were here, you gave me too much money, here's your change. You know, you kind of go back to the people who deal with you in integrous ways when it comes to business dealings. And that's what paradigm shift is all about. And I want you to take a look of, if we can go back to the previous graphic. There's a couple of locations running this paradigm shift program. And I want to look at the one that, there's one running in Painesville, in Kakata, in Rubber Farm, and Gorloo. So actually in four locations. But I want to look at Kakata. This is a really poor area. And I just want to look at a couple of stats. So this is from last year. And there were 23 entrepreneurs in the program, and only 22 of them got surveyed. One was obviously sick for whatever reason. But I just want to draw your attention to a couple of these stats. So, one, doesn't sound like a great stat. What is this about? Every entrepreneur, on average, supports one orphan with their business. That's someone who's, for whatever reason, their parents have died, and they've taken them in under their roof, and it's not their children. But they are adopting other kids into their families, and through their businesses, they're supporting orphans. You know, 50% of the entrepreneurs support orphans. Five, that's the average number of dependents supported per entrepreneur. 45% of entrepreneurs employ someone else, making a difference in their community, bringing legacy, raising, you know, the standard of people in their community. And 56% is the average revenue increase per entrepreneur through this program. 14% started a business after their training. They weren't even running a business until we came and ran this training program. And 50% of entrepreneurs are under the age of 35. We're talking about making a difference in people for the rest of their lives. If we can go to the next slide, I've got a couple of testimonies here from people that were in these paradigm shift entrepreneur training programs. And what basically happens is they get their training, which is Bible and finances, and that's module one. Then they get given a small amount of money, a small cash injection into their business. And then if they grow that money and successfully repay that money, they go to a second stage of training, and then they get a little bit more money. So they're called microloans. These little cash injections that we are sponsoring and supporting into these businesses. And then when they're faithful with that and they repay that loan, then they get another loan. And there's an accountability where if one of the entrepreneurs in a location defaults on their loans, none of the rest of the entrepreneurs in that location can get their loans repaid either. So it's a whole community thing where they all, like, when one person's not pulling up their socks or not doing the right thing, all the rest of the community are like, hey, what's going on? And there's this accountability, there's this stewardship, there's this training, there's this, you know, it's making a difference, a lasting impact in the lives of these entrepreneurs. And just before I read this, I just want to say one thing is, I remember personally interviewing a number of the entrepreneurs when I was there in 2017 in Liberia. And this one lady, I'll never forget, she was so happy. Her face was just lighting up. She was like, man, I love this program. I love this, what I'm getting taught. She says, because of these principles, she spoke in Liberian dollars, but because of these principles, her business had increased from making a profit of $10 Australian per month to $20 Australian per month. She doubled her income. And to us, it sounds like nothing. But to her, she was like, man, I can send another kid to school, or man, I can put bit more food on the table. I can save some for a rainy day. And that's the kind of scale of entrepreneurs that we're talking about. We're not talking about people in suits making millions of dollars and living in glass mansions, you know. It's real people on the street. And I just want to draw your attention to a few on the side here. So this lady, Joyce, she has a business where she gets clothes from China and then she sells them in her community. And she says, I learned how to save money, how to talk to people while doing business, and how to be fair to my customers. If you put God first, all else will follow. I mean, it goes on. I'm running my business according to the needs of the people in my community. Thank you for this blessing on my life. This training has helped me learn how to save and spend my money. Thanks to C3 Painesville and my teacher, Dominic Monibar. Right at the top there, Pastor Contessin's wife. I thank God for my business that allows me to feed my children and provide a home. She sells used clothes and makes soap for people. It's by getting involved in our Leap into Spring program, you're making a difference for years to come. I want to take a look at Isaiah 58, 10 to 11, as I start bringing my message to a close. I've got one more point after this. If you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. Your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. You know, whenever we spend ourselves and stretch ourselves and give to the needs of the oppressed and the poor, God promises this kind of overflowing abundance, the spring whose waters never fail. He promises us a sort of limitless provision. And the word is not clear whether this limitless provision will be in our time here on earth. But God, you know, Jesus did tell us that he went to heaven to prepare us mansions in heaven. So whether we never see the blessing on our lives in our lifetime, we are promised by God that when we do these kind of things, when we satisfy the needs of the oppressed, God will give us limitless provision in return. And I feel like I've already got that through having eternal life with Jesus, you know? Is he's given me the limitless provision of being with him in heaven one day. Jesus spoke about taking pity on the poor and the helpless many, many times during his time on earth. He had his Old Testament prophets like Isaiah talk about it. Let's make a difference starting today, church. We can all band together and leave a legacy, a lasting impact, a helping hand stretching to the impoverished corners of the earth. My final scripture for the day is in 1 John 3:16 to 17. Worship team, you can come up now. 1 John 3:16 to 17 says this. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his love for us. Who's thankful for that? I know I am so thankful for that. This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers and not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear. Let's help our fellow believers overseas who have next to nothing compared to us. We can display the love of Christ by helping our fellow men, women, and children in India, the Philippines, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. To not only scrape by, but exist, and to start to live their lives more blessed than they could ever hope to imagine. That could be our claim to fame, church, as it were. Not becoming a social media sensation, or overnight celebrity, or being involved in a flash mob, or a viral video, but something way more important, that we could be involved in helping to set the oppressed free. I just want to take a moment now to look at this card, and I encourage you to go home this week and think about the three questions that it has on the front here. What can I give up? What can I give? What can I give up? What can I believe God for? As you start to think, Lord, what can I give this year? Know that it's not a once-off giving, because we all know that it's really hard to give $1,000 as a once-off, but it's very easy to give $1,000 over 365 days. No, it's $3 a day. just think about, Lord, what can I actually realistically give over the next 12 months? It's a 12-month commitment to partner with programs like Paradigm Shift to help the salaries of the teachers in Liberia. And then also ask, what can I give up? You know, we could all probably, you know, give up a coffee, give up going out to dinner. We live such blessed lives. You know, maybe downgrading where we choose to spend our holidays. Lord, what can I honestly give up this year? Not something that's way out there, like, oh, I'm going to just live with my friends and give up renting for the next year so, Lord, you can have my rent. Like, something realistically. Lord, move my heart. What can I give up to see people overseas live a better life? And then the funny thing is, I always like to talk about this analogy. What can I believe God for? I liken it to the account of Jesus who fed the thousands of people when one boy was willing to give up 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's like, Lord, I've only got this much. I've only got so little. It's not even going to be a drop in the ocean to feed these thousands of people. And yet, Lord, you take that and somehow you manage to make it work. You manage to feed people. You manage to bring change. And that's, I just want to encourage you, don't be discouraged by the small amount that you feel you can give. When God takes that small amount and takes all of our small amounts and puts it together and adds faith to it, adds Jesus to it, what can we believe God for? We can believe for breakthrough. We can believe for, you know, changed lives for these guys here when we strive to set the oppressed free. Church, could you be upstanding with me this morning? I just want to give a very brief moment for people here today who feel like they need to get right with God. If you hear those of you who are here today who feel like you've never had a relationship with Jesus, or feel like, God, I used to know what it was like to have you as my father, but I've walked away, I've walked my own way. If that's you here today, can you please pray this prayer after me? I'd hate for us to gather as a church, gather to worship God and not give an opportunity for people to get right with God right here, right now. Let's bow our heads. Pray this prayer after me, church. Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for his sacrifice, for dying for me on the cross. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Today, I ask you to forgive my sins. I put my trust in you, and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just keep your head bowed right now, church, we just want to give a moment of privacy for people that are coming to God or coming back to God.